You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Brent, but of course, he stars in the show. He's the creator, the executive producer, the showrunner, and the star. Brent, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, man. It's, you know, I love it. Western Canadian guy, and, you know, it basically does everything for a show that lasts 17 years on TV, man. That's pretty fun, pretty special. Tell me kind of about Corner Gas and how you got the idea. Like, I know it's been on air for 17 years, but how long was this idea kind of festering for you prior to those 17?
Yeah, I mean, it spans 17 years. Really, it's about 11 years of production spanning 17 years. We did six seasons of live action. Then we did a movie, which took a little over a year to do. And now four seasons of the animated show. And it kind of came about. There were sort of two tracks that converged. One, I was thinking to myself, what would my life be like if I hadn't tried to get into comedy, if I hadn't pursued show business? And I thought, well, I'd probably just be hanging out at my hometown, probably hanging out at the gas station and going for coffee. That's the extent of my life up to that point. And that was a pretty good time. And then as I was thinking that, at the same time, I was trying to write this feature film, a script for a feature film. I had an idea for a story. And I was writing that script, and I got, you know, a third of the way through it or so, halfway through it. And I wasn't really liking the story anymore, but I was really liking these characters. I had decided to set it in small-town Saskatchewan, and the main character worked at a gas station. And as much as I didn't like the story for the movie anymore, I really liked the way these characters interacted, and the dialogue and the jokes came easy. And I was thinking, I really know these people. So maybe I should just write this as a treatment for a sitcom, which is what I did. I wrote it as a little four-page treatment and then shelved it because I thought, you know, no one's ever going to be interested in doing a show about a gas station in Saskatchewan. And then about a year or so, maybe more after that, a director I know took me out for coffee, and he said, listen, I was just talking to the network, and they're interested. They want to know if you have any TV show ideas, because I was on their radar, I guess, because I'd just been nominated the previous year for Best Comedy Performance for a show on their network. So I was kind of on their radar at the time. And they said, does he have any show ideas? So he asked me, and I said, well, I'm sure I could come up with something. The only thing that I have right now is I have a show about a gas station in Saskatchewan, but I can't imagine they'd be interested. He told them they were interested, and we went from there.
Are any of the characters in this, like, based on people you would have known or interacted with as growing up in Tisdale, Saskatchewan?
Not really. I mean, they're all kind of fairly archetypal characters. I will say that the parents, Brent's parents, are loosely based on my parents, in so much as my mother in real life was a very strong, no-nonsense, Depression-era farm woman who had incredible arm strength and was just somebody you didn't want to cross, you know? So I kind of based the Emma character on her. And initially when I wrote the treatment, I started writing scenes with the father character. I made him similar to my own father because my father was quite a funny guy. But the problem was he was also a very laid-back guy, and my character is a very laid-back guy. So you just had two characters who were, like, easygoing and get along, and that doesn't make for good drama. So I thought, what if I just flipped the character and made him the exact opposite of my father, somebody who was always ready to hit to blow his top, you know? And once I did that, then we started getting some good comedic scenes.
Brent, your character has your same first name as you do in real life. So how close was your character to you? And you know, when you play a character for 17 years, what, you know, was there ever a crossover as of, you know, the, you know, independent Brent, to take out a line from George and Seinfeld? Did they ever cross?
They were basically the same person. I always said that the main difference between Brent Budd and Brent Leroy is that Brent Leroy wore a round watch. That was the biggest difference. I wasn't super confident in my acting skills, and I thought the smart move here is make this character exactly like me and have him respond to things exactly as I would. That'll really improve my chances of pulling this off. And also, if I named him Brent, if somebody called his name, I'm more likely to turn around and look. If I had made his name Eugene or something, I probably would have just kept walking, you know?
I hear you.
So I was writing, compensating for my shortcomings.
Now, when you're putting this together, and as you know, as years went by and kind of the stories evolved, you know, were you surprised some different things that you got to like or dislike about characters in the show?
Not really. I mean, I fell in love with all these characters. They can all make me laugh. They were all fun to write storylines for. Like when we were in the writing room and we were kicking around story ideas, they were all really fun characters to write for. And the actors that we cast, I mean, one of the things I'll always be grateful for is the CTV gave us time and the resources to cast a wide net. And we looked at a lot of actors, and that allowed us to find just the perfect people. I think we found the absolute perfect actors to play these characters, and the way they breathed life in them, they made them very believable. And that's, you know, if you have that behind you, everything gets that much more funny. Because if you believe that Oscar is a real person who's saying these stupid things, it's much funnier than if you think it's just a comedic put on, you know. If you believe this character is real, these characters are real, it makes the comedy way better. And with these actors that we cast, they're so brilliant.
Brent Butt joins us, of course. He starred in it, the executive producer, creator of Corner Gas, and it'll wrap up this Monday with the final episode. Brent, when you look back over the years, do you have one or two favorite episodes? And if so, which ones and why?
Well, I always loved episodes where we got to see the cast doing something different, when it was a little outside of their normal scope. And so I liked a couple of the sports ones, you know, like the Face Off episode where we saw them playing hockey, the Dog River River Dogs, and the Slow Pitch episode where where Wanda got drunk out in the field. And
yeah.
So that was fun. It was always fun to play in a different arena, in a different environment. I liked those. And there was an episode called Kid Stuff that I wrote that I think is some of my best writing. That stands up for me as an episode I'm proud of as a writer.
Now, Brent, you mentioned, obviously, you're a comedian. You got a good sense of humor. And the softball episode, it's funny you bring it up because I laugh. But I'm sure you've seen the WKRP one with Les Nessman. When you're writing for comedy, and you've probably seen some other great ones, is it difficult? Like, I don't want to have anything that's similar to that one, or maybe we can play off of that. How does that work when you, in a comedy, you have an episode that which has them in a similar situation than we've seen in other ones that obviously perform very well?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you could count probably a dozen episodes where the characters, you know, there was an episode of probably a dozen different shows where they played baseball or slow pitch or had some team thing. So the scenario itself, I don't worry about it that much. You know, I really only worry about jokes. Are we lifting jokes? And in that capacity, The Simpsons, that was the hardest thing, because anytime we'd come up with a funny gag, one of the writers would always say, "Didn't the Simpsons do that?" And we're like, "Oh yeah, they did. They just they've written every joke. So it's so hard. They went on so long. It's so funny and so prolific. And there's, you know, a million jokes in every episode of The Simpsons. So it's hard to come up with something original."
Is it easier to write? Yeah, Brent. Is it easier to write when when you have real character, like real life human actors, and they're going to pull off a scene, compared to when you're writing for animation? Like, can animation get away with things that humans maybe can't?
Well, absolutely. But I mean, when in terms of writing, we just write, you know, these characters. We write the story that's based on these characters, and we know that the actors are going to come in and nail it and pull it off. And for the actors, it's a bit different, but it's still, they have to come in and act and inhabit these characters. Even though they're just in a room with a microphone, they're not being seen, they still have to inhabit the characters and pull it off. So it's very similar that way. But the thing that we had with animation, I mean, in the live action, we would do this too, where we would have these fantasy pop-ups. So you could see, like, we were coming up with jokes in season one funny jokes, but I was always afraid that we were going to fracture our reality if we did something that was too big. And I never wanted to fracture our reality. So we came up with this notion of we could see what a character was thinking. So if Hank had some goofy idea, we could shoot it as though it was just in his mind, and then that wouldn't fracture our reality. And those became a very popular thing to do and a fun thing to write. But in live action, you're kind of limited as to what you can actually do in terms of budget and time and physically what you're legally allowed to do with another human. But with the animation, once you're drawing it, you can get away with a lot more. You can do, we had a unicorn fight a Sasquatch. We, go into outer space. We could do things that we couldn't do in live action.
Yeah, that classic battle, unicorns and Sasquatch. It's been going on
People
forever.
People were very surprised at how gory and violent that battle became. They were like, man, that was, when the unicorn gores the Sasquatch and a stream of rainbow blood comes out of him.
it's unbelievable. Now, as far as your cast members, they start, I'm guessing the people in their acting, they start, thinking they're them and thinking like them. So how often would they bring ideas and jokes or, directions for the show to the table?
Not very often. I didn't really kind of like to mix the two things. I like to keep the writing separate and the performing separate. Because the writing is a real, there's a lot to it. Not that, there's a lot to acting too. It's just a different thing. And I always felt we wanted to keep it clean, keep it separate, keep the stories, being generated from the writing room. And that's what they get paid to do. But the actors would, there were times when, they would come to me and say, I don't think, this doesn't suit my character right. We could talk about those kind of things, but we always generated all the stories and dialogue and everything in the writing room.
Brent Butt joins us. Of course, he is the executive producer, creator, star showrunner of Corner Gas, which will have their final episode airing this Monday night. You were born in Tisdale, of course, Brent. Now, what were your hockey playing skills like? Were you a hockey guy? What did you do growing up? I'm assuming if you're in Saskatchewan, you must have played some football.
Yeah, played both. Played hockey up until midget level, like I was 15. Really, I had to come down. It came down to I got offered a really good job, and I had to make a decision between continuing to play hockey or take this job. And I knew that my future did not lie in hockey.
Okay.
It wasn't like a real, oh boy, I got to let the dream die. I knew that I enjoyed playing hockey, and I was good enough. I mean, I was usually on the A team. I was a goalie, so there was a small pool. But yeah, when the choice came, it was like, oh, a union job to pay $15 an hour in 1982. Yeah, I'll take that.
and what about your
school.
Right?
I was.
What about your Rough Riders? Do you get to a lot of Rough Rider games?
No, I haven't. And I've kind of fallen off the last few years. Just production makes it difficult for me to stay on board. I have a friend of mine from Tisdale who actually lives out here. He works in animation too, strangely. We don't work together, but we're both in the animation business now. And he and I we loved to go to see the Riders when they came to play the Lions, but the last couple of years we haven't been able to. So we've got to fire that tradition back up again.
Now, another reason maybe, Brent, why you can't go to the Rider, like you're a big star now. You're in Saskatchewan. You're just going to get mauled if you go to the games, right? You'd almost have to go incognito.
Yeah, they treat me pretty well when I go to the games. They let me, come in different entrances and stuff like that. And I usually have a lovely suite. It's kind of nice.
And Ryan Reynolds will be starring as himself in the finale of Corner Gas. Is he a longtime fan as a fellow Canadian of the show?
Well, I don't know, but the way it came together was. We always have your list of like dream people you'd like to get to do cameos, because cameos were always a big part of Corner Gas, live action and animated, yeah. And in the movie. And people really like them, and we enjoy writing them. They're always fun to write. So you put your list together of who you'd like to get, your dream people. And sometimes you can get them, sometimes you can't. I always dreamt of having Bob Newhart on the show. I wanted him to play Oscar's father, my grandfather. But we couldn't get him. But conversely, I always wanted Michael J. Fox, and we ended up getting him to do Corner Gas Animated. I was able to fly down to New York and record him in his office for a really fun episode. And Ryan Reynolds was somebody that we all had on our list. And but we never approached him just because we thought, you know, his people were probably going to politely decline. But once we found out that this was going to be the final year, the final season of Corner Gas Animated, we thought, this is our last chance. So we were able to reach out to him directly, and he got back to us right away and said, yeah, this is great. I'd love to do it. Absolutely. Oh. Count me in. And he said, I'll record the stuff right now. And he recorded the stuff, sent it to us. And we had his stuff on tape so fast, it almost made our head spin. And then he sent me a lovely little DM note on Twitter, because he follows me on Twitter. Who knew?
Oh, nice. Hey. Close buddies.
He sent me a message on Twitter and just congratulated us on a run, having such a great run, and he was thanking us for making him a part of the our historic run with Corner Gas.
Oh, what a great guy! Awesome. So, Brent, what's up next? 17 years, like it's I gotta feel like it's, you know, it's a real big part of your life. Have you settled some grieving time for yourself? Because I would think it would be difficult to walk away from something that's been such a big part.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's like the perfect example of bittersweet, because it is sad. We were having fun doing the show, and it's been a big part of my life. You know, I was 33 or 34 when I wrote that treatment, and 36 when we started filming, and here I am now. I got to be at least 39. I haven't done the math, but so it's been a big chunk of my adult life, and so it is sad. But at the same time, we look at the other side of the coin and say, you know, for this dopey idea that I had on a whim that I didn't think anybody would ever be interested in, here we are 17 years later talking about it wrapping up. So it's hard to, you know, I don't feel short-sheeted at all, I can tell you that.
Well, you know, it's been fantastic. We've got a lot of texts coming in, Brent, from people that just want to say thank you for all the laughs over the year. It's one of their favorite shows that they've enjoyed, and they will be tuning in Monday for the finale. Congratulations on such a great long run with Corner Gas. And I love the premise. You're just like, well, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this? I'd be hanging out in the gas station. It's fantastic that you're able to take such a simple idea and turn it into something so great. We really appreciate your time.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you guys, and I just want to thank everybody who's not only texting you, but everybody out there who took a half hour out of their week to watch our show with us. You know, I'd never be able to articulate thanks enough, but it means the world to us.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brent. Good luck.
Thanks very much, you guys.